We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoff, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
And man, the players are saying, we love the Coach Spiggs. Coach Spiggs is fantastic.
Dave Wannstedt.
You guys want to hear something funny? When I'm coaching, right, everyone's calling me a moron. Now I get a microphone in front of me, everyone calls me an expert.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Hey, what did you pay Tanny? I remember like 2 weeks ago, Dave said that like I'd be a great offensive coordinator or something. It never makes its way into the open.
Coach Spiggs is really clean.
Yeah, I thought I said Danny and Spiggs. I think they cut you out, Danny. I think that was some editing right there by Tanny.
I think the truth is that Chris Tannehill enjoys how you say Spiggs. Mm-hmm. I think that's the truth.
I got to speak to our producer here, Shane. I paid your fine, by the way, of $6.70 to Mitch Rosen.
I really appreciate that, Dave. Okay. Finally, I'd rather you bring in a bottle of bourbon, though.
I will. Victory Thursday. I'm not letting my men drink here unless we win. So they better get on this thing and start cheering or talking Bears or praying or whatever they want to do, but to get a win. Then we get the bourbon out again.
Well, thanks for paying for the fine.
Yeah.
what Dave is referencing is a wonderful letter that Mitch Rosen sent to Shane Reardon today. Quote, Shane, you were to report to the Score offices by 9:15 a.m. CST. Today you arrived at 9:17. Therefore, you will be fined $6.70. The tardiness is a detriment to the team. Please do not let this happen again. Payment can be made in espresso shots or Venmo. Thank you. And Mitch signed right there.
Espresso with an X, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So you know he means it.
I leaned into the X just so people could hear it.
You know what? That bothers me. I mean, the Eddie Jackson stuff with Lance Briggs, that bothers me. I mean,
Jalen Johnson posting the late.
Oh, you know, and yes, take me out of this equation. I'm not going to refer to let's just use Bill Belichick as an example. You think you would see a player from the Patriots come out and do that? I don't think so. I really don't believe that. And I get all the news, social media, and the young guys, but day one, every place I coached, I said, guys, know where you're supposed to be and be on time. We don't have a lot of rules here, but that's one that everybody better understand right now. I mean, now why? So the kid's late. Hopefully he had a good reason. I mean, that's but then to post it, I mean, all you're doing is damaging your brand. You know, now you're telling all of Chicago and all over the country, guess what? We got Tom Brady coming in. He's going to throw it, and I'm late for the meeting. I mean, why?
Do you think that it was a first offense? Like, do you think that if you show up at 8:16 for an 8:15 meeting one time, you get fined $2,700?
Yes.
You do?
Okay. I do. Uh-huh. Okay. No, and we never talked about it. I mean, we would have our security guy or whoever was taking roll, and once we started, if you walked in the door late, you were fined, and the slip would be in your locker, and move on. You know, that's the story. Now, repeated things, then all of a sudden you got to take the next step and get into that. But
the mechanics of this, of actually writing the letter and putting it in his locker, that's the way it has to go?
They used to hang it up, and it was always not the Bears, but I changed the color. I wanted a nice, bright blue aqua color at the Dolphins so that no one got an aqua letter unless it was from me and you were being fined. Yes. So if you walked into the locker room and you saw the aqua letter hanging up there in front of your locker, everybody kind of, you know, they knew that you got fined, you got nailed for something.
Oh, blue letter's bad news.
Yeah, it's the scarlet letter. The thing you said about Belichick's interesting because I think about Gronk, right? Mm-hmm. Did I miss a reference there, Speaks?
That's right. I'm sure everybody did. It's okay. I got excited about trying to find somebody who got it.
So then you started talking to Tanny during the radio show? Is that what you did?
That's what I did.
Was the move?
It's not my best moment.
Speaks, I will talk Coen Brothers at any time, but not during Coach's segment. Okay,
that's fair. Thank you for just getting it. That's all I needed to know. Somebody got it. I was so excited.
Glad I think about, like, Gronk when he was with the Patriots, like, the party cruise made some distractions. Like, you know, the picture with the porn star was a distraction a little. Like, I don't think either of them really were distractions, but, like, they were things in the media that Gronk did on social media, and no one said it was a reflection of Bill Belichick as a coach or a disciplinarian. Now, obviously, he won, and he won Super Bowls, and Gronk's going to the Hall of Fame. But you think that it speaks less of Matt Nagy's discipline that Jalon Johnson
I'm going to put it on the player and just say I'm just disappointed in the player. You know, because I love this kid. When they drafted him, I'm good friends with his college coach, Kyle Whittingham, out of Utah. And I had a long conversation and talked to and this kid, you know, I mean, I loved everything about this kid. I just and if it happened, it happened. He probably has a reason. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But don't post it. I mean, what are you trying to accomplish? I don't understand.
So what's that conversation like when you're Matt Nagy and you've been blindsided at the press conference and you got to answer the question about
it?
Well,
he shouldn't have been blindsided. Right. He's the guy giving the fine out.
Well, no. He was blindsided
by the Instagram
about
post.
The posting.
Oh, yeah.
The posting of it. So afterwards, I would say
that. That's damn disappointing to me right now that we're getting ready for a game and it's bad enough the guy's late. Now he's going to put it out there. You know, and it just hurts his brand. I mean, if you're the CEO of a company, right, and you want to do something with this young kid, he's going to be a great star, and you're looking and saying, you know, I was late. You know, I mean, it's just a bad vibe, I think.
I think it's totally reasonable. Obviously, $2,700 for being a minute late.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Probably by scale, Shane's $6.70 fine is right.
Yeah.
Like that's the radio equivalent. We have a piece of breaking news that is just, it's very frustrating for me about the Bears here. So Damian Williams is on the COVID list, right? He missed the last game.
Yep.
And the rule is, like Robert Quinn showed up on it this week, you have to have two negative tests with 24 hours of separation between the two and 24 hours out from the game in order to get back in. Unless you're unvaccinated.
Yep.
And then it's 10 days minimum. So Damian Williams, again, not at practice today, and the earliest he could be cleared is Saturday. So he's got one day of grace in order to test negative because Damian Williams is unvaccinated. That's from Adam Schefter. I believe that is new information that Damian Williams is unvaccinated.
He was unvaccinated as of the OTAs when it came up there.
Okay.
But in terms of still to this point being unvaccinated, I believe that is new information.
Man, and so, you know, Dave, like this game against Tampa, the Bucs' run defense is so good. But the only thing the Bears have been able to do successfully offensively is run the ball.
Correct.
And now it feels pretty safe to say, obviously not for sure, but fairly safe to say that you won't have Damian Williams again. Obviously no David Montgomery. How the hell are the Bears going to move the ball on Sunday?
Well, the thing that they had, the one area of the offense that has not come to light yet is the quarterback run game. You know, the called plays. I'm not talking, when I say quarterback run, I'm not talking about scrambles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the quarterback read, the option stuff, the quarterback read game. You know, am I going to give it? Am I going to keep it? That, which they ran at Ohio State. So we know that Justin has done this. It's not like we're trying to put in a new part of the offense that he's not familiar with. That's the one part. If I'm Todd Bowles, the defense coordinator of Tampa right now, that's what I am studying. I am studying the tape right now. I'm looking at his Ohio State tape. Whenever he read quarterback called runs, and I'm going to make sure that I'm covered as far as assignments and we do our homework, because the Bears got to do some of that. He's a great runner. He's big, strong, fast. Got to have the ball in his hands.
Well, they've been running effectively with him under center.
Yep.
And I don't know. And those are the blocking schemes that are working, those kind of zone blocking schemes where the runners then cut back. And Khalil Herbert, he knows where the cuts are, is what one of the offensive linemen says about him. Like, all of them can do that. So, but the zone run, the zone read, when you're in the gun and either you're handing it to that running back who's going straight or you're going around wide, those are different blocking schemes, right?
The biggest advantage of quarterback being behind center and the tailback being kind of in a neutral position is that he has a lot more opportunity to change directions, like you're talking about. Wind it back, bounce it up, bounce it outside. When you're lined up in an offset back and you hand him the ball, you can't do a lot of it. It's straight ahead runs, really. You're getting your draws, you're getting your reads, you know, that are basically going one direction. So from a defender, we used to see some offset back. We loved that because we knew where if they hand them the ball, pretty much knew what gap they were going to attack.
It's just one direction, yeah.
One direction.
But
when they go
working
under center, it's a whole different game. And the play action pass.
Well, this is the thing.
Action pass comes alive when you're under center.
Why aren't we seeing that? I feel like we are not. We saw it against Detroit.
I don't know.
But we're not seeing play action off those successful run plays. Like when they pass, they're going into the gun and running the wacky stuff as opposed to the things that mesh. What the hell is going on?
We used to, as a defensive guy, I remember Norv Turner when he first came and his background. You know, before he became a head coach and stuff, he was with John Robinson at the Rams with Eric Dickerson. And before that, he was coordinator at USC. We know the tailbacks that they got USC. So it's been run, and he was a master at, or as good as there was, of making the running play. And he was the offense coordinator at Dallas. I was the defense coordinator. And we couldn't tell. You know, when our fullback ran at the defensive end at Charles Haley, Charles could not tell initially, is it a run or is it a pass? And the safety and everybody. And that's how close they mirrored each other. And that's the team that does that now is San Francisco. 49ers do as good a job as anybody in the league of marrying their runs and their passes together. And to me, I don't know how else you're going to get big plays. I keep saying this, you're not going to get a big play unless the team's just terrible on third and second and long. I mean, they're playing the sticks. They're playing for the deep ball. Where you're going to get your big plays is on run situations when you go play action pass and you get behind the guys. That's the only, in my opinion, the only way to do it. Otherwise, you're throwing up a jump ball.
That's the kind of thing, Danny, like you and I have talked about Nagy as a game planner. That's kind of thing where I'm like, what the hell is he thinking? Like, because it's just so basic. Make them look the same.
And I felt like at times last week it was a little bit better, but I don't get why that's not uniform. Like, what? Why? And I know Kyle Shanahan is amazing and he, you know, has new creative run games and all of that, but like, it feels to me like that should be something that's relatively easy to copy. Like why would the Bears?
It's probably too simple for some of these guys. I mean, you know, because the routes that you're going to run, it's not going to be, you know,
it's not exotic enough, right?
You can do it with two receivers. You can leave everybody in the block if you want to.
And he wants to do more.
And you know, I said it last year after the Bears game when Tom Brady, they wanted to throw it deep and score more points. And he said, I can't do it. There's not enough time to do it. We got to, and they all of a sudden started running the ball, you know, three times more than they had run it. And Gronk caught three passes in like five games or whatever it was. Why? Because he was a blocker, and it was all play action. You know, run, play action, and that's kind of what Tampa's evolved to.
There was a play in the game against Green Bay when they had to pick up yards late, and Greg Olsen just ripped into him afterwards on how the pattern had like all these wideouts going so far deep. And
I remember that play, yeah.
And there was nobody with a chance for Justin Fields to even dump it down to. And he's like, you got to give your quarterback a chance. Just Olsen was all over Nagy. So are they giving Justin Fields the best chance right now? Still, I know they've changed a lot, but are they still doing
they're
it?
They're working on it. And, you know, it's a work in progress. Work in progress. No, and I'm serious. I mean, and you got three quarterback coaches and – you know, to me, Justin Fields right now, I mean, he made some throws that were so accurate and with velocity and accuracy. I mean, they were impressive. But then he still does some things that he's not doing them as fast as you would like for the type of athlete he is. And I'm sure that his mind, you know, the cloudy mind, slow feet.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
We talked about that last week. And I see a little bit of a cloudy mind, and I get that. So if that's the case, you got to bring him in and you got to clear it up. You got to simplify it so he can play fast. If he's not playing fast, Bears are losing a big offensive weapon, in my point.
I want to go back to this Damian Williams thing. A texter reminded me of it, and I was going back while you guys were talking and reread the article to be sure that the details were correct. So Damian Williams was on the COVID list, and he's unvaccinated. And he sat out last year because of COVID. Because his mom had stage 4 cancer. So this is a guy who opted out of the season because of COVID concerns, but then doesn't get vaccinated and is a backup player on the Bears. And as the texter correctly points out, backups, you got to have availability. So the Bears sign an unvaccinated running back. I mean, listen, obviously you go with the guys who are talented and all that, but man, sometimes understanding the logic of these decisions about lack of vaccination, like you sit out an entire season of your earning potential in your 20s and the prime of your football career because of COVID concerns, presumably out of health reasons and precaution for your mom.
Hey, you can do all sorts of
things. And then you come back and don't get vaccinated. Like, what the hell is the matter with these people?
I know it seems incongruous, but I mean, you can twist that logic to mean to make it work for you from his perspective. He's thinking, okay.
What was that word you used?
Incongruous. Okay. Like they don't
they're
align.
In conflict with each other.
But like he doesn't want to come in last year because he would get the disease, right? But maybe now he thinks the disease isn't so bad, and he doesn't believe in the vaccine.
I forgot that story about his mom, but that would almost lead you to believe to get vaccinated sooner so
of
you could be around your mother.
If you're believing in the science in full, but, you know, people can twist stuff to whatever they would need it to be.
Absolutely.
God, that's so
frustrating. That's a shame. A shame for, like you say, the Bears. Everyone's just talking about the player. You know, he's going to be missing time and missing a game and missing a check or whatever. The Bears get penalized for this reason, too.
Yeah, I just, man, sometimes understanding these decisions, like you dealt with that horrible thing with your mom's health. You
protect give yourself.
Up a, give
protect
up a your, year yep. of your football career in the name of safety.
I think
you won't take a shot.
I think some of these guys can just have the vaccine as its own little conspiracy theory or as its own little problem isolated from everything else.
That's just a... Man, thank you to the texter who reminded me of that to go back and check those details. That is interesting. We were talking about discipline for Jalen Johnson for being late. What about for just poor play, poor tackling? It was brought up to Sean Desai. We want to play this for Dave Wanstead, a fellow defensive coach. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dave Wanstead with Parkinson Spiegel.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
On 670 The Score.
Stones for you there, Dave.
I love the Stones.
We know.
Saw the Stones a couple years ago here live.
Soldier Field?
Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm. Delightful couple of shows there.
Were you there?
I was.
I was
so
there,
So was Danny.
Were you?
Yeah. It was great. Went with my parents and my wife. Saw the Stones. My first concert was the Rolling Stones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago was his first concert.
That's not true. It's not true. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
And he's got a limited cultural palate, Coach.
A limited musical palate.
Yeah, that's true.
I got other things. If it's on a screen, I'm pretty good with it. Shows, movies.
True.
You know, I go deep.
Yeah. You need the visual component desperately. Yeah,
it's very helpful for me. So we were talking about Jalen Johnson, and they fined him for showing up late, even though it was just a minute, according to him. And you said, yep, you'd fine him even if it's a first offense. Eddie Jackson has gotten into a little bit of a thing on Twitter with Lance Briggs, but also just hasn't been tackling. It was asked of Sean Desai, the Bears defensive coordinator, what type of punishment or if there is any form of fining or punishment that you could do for missed tackles.
In regards to the tackling, that it's something that you feel like you can coach better. How do you coach that better? And is it as simple as just, you know, threatening some starting jobs or mixing in some other guys in the rotation?
No, you know, I don't believe in, as a teacher, I don't believe in threatening anything. I don't think threats are the way to go. So as a leader or a teacher. Now, I think as a leader and a teacher, you got to find unique ways to teach and make sure your message is getting across to your players. And so we do that in a lot of different ways, whether it's in the film room or in practice. And we got to continue to do a better job of it, like I said, from a teaching and coaching perspective and an execution perspective, right? This is not just on one party in terms of player or coach. It's a collective effort, and ultimately between the lines, we got to execute, and we got to give them a chance to execute, put them in good positions, and give them the proper techniques and training to go and execute.
What do you think about?
Yeah, I hear what he's saying, and I like that. I mean, I always thought the quickest way, you got to do it now. Number one, you know, you have to tackle. I mean, that's an art. It's kind of, I always taught the players, it's just like jumping rope. Well, yeah, we can all jump rope. We can all tackle. Yep, I got it. Well, guess what? You go out there, you hand someone that jump rope that hasn't done it, you know, very often, they're going to struggle till they, as compared to the guy that's doing it every day. And, you know, so you got to tackle. You got to wrap up. I'm not talking about taking them to the ground and trying to knock their face mask off. I'm talking about wrapping them up, good technique. And you got to do enough of it in practice. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but when it happens in a game or something, if it's, you know, a guy like Eddie Jackson, God, I mean, Nick Saban, he's probably had more tackling drills than anybody on the defense, mm-hmm. you know? And so if that happens, you always show the tape, good and bad, to the whole defense. And peer pressure is a great motivator. Nobody wants to sit in there with all your buddies, all your teammates, and see you're the guy that's turned down a hit or put your head down and missed or didn't wrap up and missed, whatever it might be. So that's one way to address the thing. And trust me, the players, peer pressure gets their attention quicker, as fast as anything.
Well, there's a lot there. So, yeah, I think you're right. He was a better tackler at Alabama than he is now. What it feels like is it's a willingness issue. And one of the reasons it feels like that is because he said that, because we caught him on tape saying you're not getting paid to tackle, you're getting paid to go get the ball. So let's say, Coach, that it is a little bit of a willingness issue. It's a business decision or whatever, however you want to say that. If you're a coach, can you get a message across without fear? You know,
like, no, you gotta, I mean, if he doesn't respond, any player, and I'm not talking about Eddie Jackson, but you know, he's got the ability to do it. You know, he knows how to do it. And if he doesn't do it, then you got to play somebody else. I mean, it's going to cost you a touchdown. You know, we always kind of had the mentality that if we don't make the tackle, that nobody will. The guy might score. So how are you going to approach that? You know, I mean, if we don't get this guy on the ground, nobody, you know, so that's the mentality. And if he's not responding, then, you know, you don't have to threaten anybody or fear anybody. You make a business decision because your job's going to be on the line. You're going to get fired is what's going to happen.
All right, well, you say that, though. Like, he's got a guaranteed contract for a lot of money in a salary cap sport.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time, offense or defense, and I'm not singling out Eddie Jackson right now. I'm just saying wouldn't be the first time that a player was playing poorly after he got money. And, you know, if you're not responding, not doing the job, you know, from a coach's – and the other thing that happens too – boy, you go on with somebody that's a quarterback that's throwing interceptions, or a running back that's fumbling, or an offensive lineman that's jumping off sides, or a defensive player that is missing tackles, and you let it go, it's a cancer on your team. Other players are always going to defend players, but they're looking and saying, so are you going to let this cost us a game, coach?
All right, so what would you do? Mm-hmm. Is it bad enough for Dave Wannstedt, you're the coach of the Bears, has it been bad enough that you bench him?
I am not close enough, really. Honestly, why? I would have to look at the tape close. Is it technique? Is he out of position? Is it effort? Is it technique? You know, but you got to do something.
What about, okay, so let's just do the one to Davante Adams, right? Jalen Johnson's guarding him at the line of scrimmage. He gets off the jam. He seems to pass him off. He passes him off to nobody.
Yeah.
Davante catches it, and Eddie doesn't wrap him up, shoves him. He ends up stepping out of bounds like 15 yards later.
Yeah, I would love to be in the defensive meeting room and have the clicker in my hand, the film, and run it back and with everybody and say, Eddie, talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? Tell me right now. I'd love to hear what he had to say. I really would.
Would other players hold him accountable the way you're talking about? Of course, that would be the best. And we've heard Lance Briggs talk about it, heard other guys talk about it, Olin talk about it, that, you know, Urlacher would go up to Briggs, or Bob Babich would go up to Briggs and say, hey, you know, who on this team would do that? Eddie's a made guy. On some level, a guy who's getting paid, he's actually the senior statesman or elder statesman in that secondary.
Yeah, I mean, you got plenty of veteran. Akeem Hicks, are you kidding me? I mean, all those guys, I mean, they're all watching the same tape. They want to win. They're busting their tail. You know what I mean? Roquan, I mean, there's plenty of guys. That's one thing the Bears don't have a need of, particularly on defense, is, to me, leaders and star players. I mean, they're loaded. They got a ton of them. So, I mean, someone's, you know, got to bring it to light. And again, peer pressure and money. That's what motivates professional athletes, money and peer pressure. And he's got the money, so you only have one other way to go right now.
Well, because, Sean Desai in that clip that we just played, you know, he says he doesn't threaten. Like, he doesn't believe that.
You don't have
teacher.
To say it, but you just call him in, and, you know, as a coach, you got to make a business decision too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're saying just playing the clip in front of his teammates, creates a situation.
Gets his attention and say, Eddie, we understand you're capable. You have the God-given ability to do it. We're paying you a lot of money to do this. Can you do it?
Right.
Yes, coach, I can do it. Okay, well, we got to do it, or we got to play somebody else. That's what it comes down to.
So
you know?
You'd say that part.
Oh, absolutely, okay. I would, and I have. I mean, you got to make that play. You know how many times, you got to make that cut to a running back.
There's got
to
be a way.
You got to make that catch, receiver. You got to make that catch. Yeah, you know, how I just wonder
if that falls under the threat part that Sean Desai is talking about that he doesn't do, right? He says he teaches instead of threats.
Yeah, but at some point, and you're not threatening anybody. You just call him and say, you know, we got to do that, Eddie, mm-hmm. and we got to get the job done, and we know you have the ability. Now, if you can't do it, if there's a reason or we're missing something, but we can't lose games because of this.
Well, Coach Wannstedt, we want you to hear one other thing. The interim coach for the Raiders, Rich Bisaccia, brought a different kind of demeanor to the sideline than John Gruden. And Josh Jacobs, running back, was asked about it, and he enjoyed it. Listen to Josh Jacobs talk about Rich Bisaccia after their first game.
Yeah. How was last week for you guys? I mean, everybody has different emotions.
Yeah.
Was it crazy? Was it frustrating, anger? Like, what was it?
Nah. Man, the sideline was just so – it was like – it wasn't no anxiety. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was weird. It was like everybody was calm. You ain't have somebody cussing at you or going crazy at the refs. You know what I'm saying? None of that. It was just like, okay, something bad happened. He was like, okay, I'm not harping on you. He was like, all right, next play. And I feel like the guys, we all kind of motivated each other. You see a lot of defensive guys standing up, offensive guys jumping off the bench when the defense making plays and stuff. And I was like, that's the right type of energy that we needed. I loved it.
That's Josh Jacobs talking about the
energy.
No,
that's good. That's what you want. I mean, that's great. The players responded. And I think the biggest thing with Rich is that you got to be your own guy. You know what I mean? And the play, and he's been a special teams coach. It's not like these guys. He's had a hand on every player from a coaching perspective, running backs on kick returns, you know, linemen, offensive linemen on field goal protection. So he's had his hand on every player. They know his personality. The worst thing that he could do is try to be somebody he's not.
Now, hearing him say that you didn't have somebody cussing at you or going crazy at the refs, we'd know that Gruden did that kind of stuff. When you're following a guy like that, you followed Ditka.
Yep.
You know? What was it like? Did you have to cleanse? Did you have to go a different way or compare?
I never thought in my mind, what would Mike have said here? Or Mike busted a chalkboard, so I can't bust one. No, I was the same guy that I was at Dallas, you know, and that's my personality. And I think that's what Rich Bisciotti did there. That's who he is as a special teams coach. He didn't change anything. And I think the players responded to that. Now, we'll see what happens this week.
Because what I've always heard is that there's a lot of different personalities that can win, right? Like,
absolutely.
Tony Dungy can win. Bill Parcells can win. They're both very different people.
Yep. Absolutely. Oh. It's not, a lot of coaches have gotten fired trying to be Vince Lombardi back in the day when they left Green Bay, you know? So you got to be your own guy and hope that, that the players respond and you have enough players. And I think the Raiders do. It's pretty interesting to see how this plays out.
So, I know that the Bears believe that they can win.
Absolutely.
They beat Tampa last year.
Yep.
I get it.
What was the spread in last year's game? We'll have to look that up, you know?
I will look that up. It certainly wasn't as big as it is this time. The game was in Chicago. Right. So, but Bears are 12.5-point underdogs. But here's the thing, as I see it. Tampa's coming off a Thursday night game, so they got extra rest.
Yep.
Tampa's at home.
Yep.
The Bears' only offensive strength, running the ball, plays right into Tampa's best defensive strength. Way better running teams than the Bears have not been able to run on Tampa. And then the Bears' biggest defensive strength, which in theory is it's how they got Brady last year. They hit him. They made him uncomfortable. Might not have Robert Quinn. Might not have Akeem Hicks.
By the way, the Bears were getting 3.5 last year at home against Tampa.
Excellent. So getting 3.5-point underdog last year, a 12.5-point underdog this year. Same teams, but significantly different inequity.
Mm-hmm.
What football scenario, not in the locker room, because again, they believe they can win, but just media people, fans talking here. How the hell do the Bears win this game?
I think it starts seriously with what I said in the very beginning. You know, the one aspect of their offense that hasn't been used yet or we haven't taken it off the shelf is the quarterback run game. I mean, Fields has got to be a star in this game for them to win. He's got to be a star. Running, throwing, he's got to make enough plays, in my opinion, to give him any chance to win. And then special teams games, you know. I mean, that's going to be big. And then it always comes down to turnovers, too. I mean, the Bears have got to protect the ball and hope that Brady throws him a couple. I mean, that's, you know, I wish there was a simple way to say it, but no.
Fields has to be a star.
Yeah, take the points.
Makes sense.
you mean with Tampa?
I take the Bears. I take the Bears.
Plus 12 and a half?
It's a lot of points. A lot of points.
Yeah.
Take the Bears and the points.
It's not the biggest spread of the week.
I know.
Who is?
Texans in Arizona are getting 17.5.
I take those points, too.
And then Rams are 15.5-point favorites over the Lions.
I take that one, too.
Really?
You take Detroit?
Yep. That's a lot of points, guys. In my opinion,
yeah, I know. That's
maybe a defensive mentality. I'm thinking.
Right.
Well, you know, you can't. No, we're only supposed to give up 17. We're getting 14. Come on.
Yeah, I was gonna say
let's go cash out right now.
All right, Clemson is 4-2. They're at the Pitt Panthers at 5-1. Your quarterback. People are talking about him like he's skyrocketing up the quarterback draft prospects.
He is.
Here.
It's Kenny Pickett. He started as a freshman. I think this is his fifth year, maybe sixth year, because he took the extra COVID year. and came back and was going to be like a fourth or fifth round pick.
So was he 31 years old?
Yeah, so he's cheating. Yes, that's what you're telling
31
me.
Years old, got about 6 degrees, college degrees.
Four kids.
And
a bunch of cheaters up there from Alex.
Driving Cooper. A nicer car than I am, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, but it should – I like Pitt. I mean, I really do. I don't know what Danny thinks, but
– 3.5-point favorite at home, the Pitt Panthers over Clemson.
I'll tell you this. Watching Clemson's offense this year, I don't recognize the program. Their defense is awesome. Championship caliber, that Georgia game, Dave. That was like your perfect brand of football.
Yeah, they're second in the nation in defense right now. Yeah. Second in total country. Yep.
Yeah. Their defense is incredible, but they can't move the ball.
Yeah.
Their offense sucks.
And that's hard to believe that you just can't line up and hand it to some 5-star running back and beat some people, right?
I mean, doesn't make any sense. They got a 5-star quarterback. They brought Justin Ross back. They've got 3 receivers of pedigree. Like it makes little to no sense.
Well, it'll be a big one. If Pitt wins this one, I think they win the ACC this year. And I never thought I'd say that.
What?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I don't know anybody. I've watched a little bit of the ACC. Carolina's down. Miami's quarterback. They're playing a true freshman now. I mean, who's going to beat them?
Not since.
Are we going bottle of red?
Bottle of red. And bring it in here, and it'll be.
All right.
We'll bring it in, and we'll have a little glass of red wine.
This is the least amount of alcohol we've had during a Wani segment.
Well, you know
like
what?
3 weeks.
I think we got to.
What's that about?
We got to make it about winning.
You needed snacks.
Nah.
You came in wanting snacks.
Well, it was either bourbon or a few peanuts. I had a couple peanuts.
Bad choice.
You're going to drink this Thursday night game fun?
I might. I'm going to go home here. I like both these teams, you know? I like Cleveland.
Yeah, you like teams with no quarterbacks.
I like Cleveland and their style of offense.
You like teams you could probably stop.
I'm a big Fangio, Mike Shula. You know, I mean, I got some people on George Payton, the GM.
See, that's the
he
thing.
Worked
he knows
for me at the Bears.
Wani knows everybody everywhere.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
But it's what? It's Case Keenum against Teddy Bridgewater. Those were guys that you could have coached. That's what it is. Those are your kind of quarterback.
One of these days.
Just trying to get the W, coach. That's all you're trying to get.
Wani's just going to leap across his table and beat the crap out of you.
With his knees and Achilles? Come on, I can outrun Dave.
No.
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 Hey, Dave, Danny's got scoliosis.
That's true.
Be good. We call him old zigzag.
You get that
here.
When you're 10 years old. He still probably still has it. Or at least complains about it. I think I had that when I was in second grade or something.
Yeah, you outgrew it? Good for you.
Yeah, grow it.
Yeah.
You're an altar boy. You're on your knees for half the day, it feels like.
Gives you that's what caused your scoliosis?
No, that got rid of it.
Oh, that's what got rid of it. All right, Dave, have a good week. Safe travels, and we'll talk soon.
Go Bears. Yeah. Let's get an upset here. I need a drink next Thursday.
All right, we're
the best.
We're drinking win or lose. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Always enjoy Dave Wannstedt hanging out with us in person. The injury report is out. There's Bilal Nichols was added to it. Probably the biggest piece of surprise today, I would say, right? Because Allen Robinson limited, that's tracking like it did last week. No Hicks expected. No Mack expected. I'll tell you this about Akeem Hicks, man. Obviously, we don't have any insight to like what the doctors know and how bad it is, but we know that he was nursing a groin injury. He wasn't 100%. He played last week. He seemed to aggravate the groin issue, was seen slamming his helmet on the sideline in the third quarter, and he never went back into the game. I know it's not any given Sunday and all that stuff. It's so unlikely that you're beating Tampa. If they think that a week off gets Akeem Hicks back healthy to 100%, whereas if he has to keep playing every week, he could keep tweaking it and maybe suffer a worse injury and not get to 100%. I would give serious consideration to forcing Akeem Hicks to sit this game because you're probably not winning it anyway. But
and it's also I heard Brad Biggs say this morning on Mullion Awe too. It's the deepest position on the roster. You know,
it
you,
is.
You got Tonga, and you've got Bilal, and you've got Goldman. You know, you've got guys who you feel pretty good about at DT that you think you can get through surprisingly.
Bilal Nichols showing up with the knee injury today, so we'll see.
That's an issue.
It's I agree. It is the deepest position on the team. It's just to me, man. I don't see a scenario where you win. Now, if it's the type of thing where he's going to be playing through this all year anyway, like a week doesn't solve it, well, then what I'm saying, throw it out completely. But
it can obviously get worse. It clearly got worse on Sunday.
Right. He was playing and then he wasn't. And so I would err on the side of caution with Akeem Hicks this week because I don't think his presence one way or another is going to make a whole hell of a lot of difference against Tampa Bay.
That's fair. That's fair. I want to there's a lot of secondary stuff that needs to happen. And Sean Desai has been creative with the secondary guys and with the utilization. You saw Xavier Crawford, the brand new nickel, and you saw no Duke Shelley whatsoever as they have their third different starting nickel against a team with a pile of good and healthy wide receiver options, right? Godwin's healthy.
Yeah, Evans and Antonio Brown, who's been incredible.
Been incredible. So
yeah, Gronk's been hurt.
But the three wideouts are there.
Yeah.
They're all over 400 yards, by the way. All three of those wideouts are over 400 yards receiving.
Yeah, I think Xavier Crawford, if he's the nickel again, might have some problems.
He represented okay.
I know.
It's because Jalen was on Devontae the whole time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jalen can't guard all of them. How do we feel, by the way, about Wani just 2 weeks ago denying us alcohol and then this week saying we only get to drink if the Bears win? He changes the rules on us all the time. It's our alcohol.
He keeps kicking the can down the road, too. Like, I think you both owe each other on bets, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he keeps saying, yeah, I'm going to bring you a new bottle of the Bradshaw Rye next week.
And I owe him a bottle of red.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want your personal bets to cancel out what we can enjoy.
I think Wani likes to have us under his thumb in terms of the alcohol. He likes to be the guy who's got it under control.
Under my thumb.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he clearly wants to be the pusher, if you will.
That's fine, but next time he's hungry, I'm not going to grab almonds. Next time he needs to request an Uber, I'm not going to show him how to do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, got a lot of things here.
Yeah.
I can revoke his key card access real quick.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you got that kind of power. It's just weird. Like
security. I'm supposed to go to a spot up there. I don't know what's wrong with my car.
For like 30 consecutive weeks, we drank during Wani segments. And then all of a sudden, you just started changing the rules.
How much do you think this jacket cost me? Nothing. You know what it cost you? $1,000.
He said the same thing to us.
Hey, fill my jacket. God, hold this.
He threw his leather jacket at me. I love that guy.
He does the same bits for you guys that he does for us.
No. I was in there when he did that to you.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, he would never do that to me.
You guys ever hear about that time he was at Pitt and Aaron Donald was working out in a weight room?
Yeah, I've heard the story.
I've heard the story. Yeah, but he gave us new ones. That's the thing. There are new ones in there. He gave us ones I never heard.
About the motorcycle because of the leather jacket?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
The motorcycle was an unbelievable story and the Dan Marino stuff.
Yeah, the guy's had an interesting life. John Morosi covering the ALCS will join us in 25 minutes. I want to know if we have like show uniformity on a team in town. It's rare on this show. It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.